Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. See the Adam Carolla Show like never before in 360-degree virtual reality. Visit podcastone.com/CarollaVR to download the sold-out show at Esports Arena in Santa Ana with guest Real Housewife of Orange County, Heather Dubrow.
You women, you do a lot of complaining with all the Me Too movement, all this stuff.
A lot of complaining.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. You pay less for your auto insurance.
There's a bonus.
You live 7 years longer.
Right. The crappy ones at the end.
When the Guatemalan lady kicks the door open on your bathroom, we can all pretend you were taking a piss.
Plus, Gina, Bald Brian, and a sold-out Orange County crowd. Again, visit podcastone.com/CarollaVR and get it on in virtual reality. More info at adamcarolla.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Paul Rodriguez, with a Mexico-themed round of What Can't Adam Complain About, and Bespoke Post co-founder Rishi Prabhu, with Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects, and now, still giddy about the royal baby, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. Let's realize that. Oh, good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Hey, now.
I noticed, you know, with these AirBud, earbud things, they put in here, no one knows you're on the phone anymore. You just walk down the street. Had a guy pull over. I'm from Canada, eh? Want to come by and look at the cars? And then the other woman who explained to me that Phil is constantly walking around their house because he walks out of the gate because they leave the gate open, and then Phil makes his way out, and then they go get Phil. I think people, they all like Phil, so they chill with him a little bit, and then we go get him back. I don't know. I always feel like a bad owner, but it's the other guy's fault. I mean, it's the guys at the other shop. They got to shut that gate, right?
Well, he's the mayor.
He's the mayor.
Survey his land.
He's
the mayor. Cruise director.
All right. I got a lot of stuff to complain about and talk about, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Couple things. I just got done watching. There's a Jordan Peterson. The Canadian guy is causing a lot of so I interviewed him for No Safe Spaces about 9 months ago or something. And they're like, you're going to talk to Jordan Peterson. I'm like, who's Jordan Peterson? He's like, he's a Canadian academic. He's got some things to say about the kids. And I said, yeah, I don't know where that is, but bring him over to the shop. And I shall certainly sit down and talk with him. And then next thing you know, every news outlet's got him and Bill Maher's show. And he clearly got himself a stylist, too.
Yeah.
He got himself a stylist.
He's in the PR machine.
He got himself a makeover big time, but a very interesting dude. And so he popped up, and I'll tell you first about TrueCar. Go to TrueCar.com and download the app, and Bespoke Post. Oh, BespokePost.com. Talk to the owner of that in a second. Get 20% off. Let him know I sent you. So I just saw the trailer for the No Safe Spaces movie I'd been banging away on with Dennis Prager for the last year or so. And usually when people assemble things without me standing in the edit bay with them, it doesn't go to my liking per se. And trailers are tough. They're just tough. And in a weird way, trailers are like logos, in that it's harder to come up with a logo than it is with a saying or something that, because it's got to just work. Yep. You know, it's got to just be there. And
it does or it doesn't.
And I'm not sure why some stuff works and stuff. And you don't even know it. It's just you go, oh, that's good. Or you go, I don't like it.
And there's no formula, at least with logos and probably with trailers. There's no formula. Like, it either works or it doesn't.
Yeah, you got to tell a story, evoke an emotion quickly.
And it's hard to get 95 minutes down into 2.5 minutes. Yeah. But they just showed me this trailer, and I think it'll work from an audible standpoint. I think we can probably shout out who's on camera, and it'll work for you guys. But I thought I'd share with you guys, because I really thought it was strong. And the boy, the timing couldn't be better in terms of what's going on today's campuses. You queued up there, Max Pata? Here we go.
The university. Undoubtedly the one place where the free exchange of ideas meets with intellectual vigor and civility.
You were disgusting. Slap your racist mama!
The university is ours.
Chaos.
Resistance to anyone who opposes us.
SWAT team in the campus.
It's weird.
There will be resistance, and it will not be peaceful.
Free speech is free on campuses unless you're hearing ideas you don't like.
Resistance to violent hate speech is not another act of hate. It is an act of love.
Free speech was never meant to protect love speech. That's not the point.
Humans don't really like freedom of speech. They definitely like their own freedom of speech. They don't necessarily like your freedom of speech that much.
It is ideological fascism. You must be one of us or you're unwelcome.
We live in very bleak times with a whole lot of conformity.
Cornel West.
Whether you're left or right, if you're honest, the First Amendment is under assault today.
Did we need $600,000 of security to hear all of that?
The universities are so overwhelmed by this that I can't see how they can extract
themselves. There's Jordan before the makeover.
We should probably pick cabins to do these speeches versus college campuses. We should go speak at the Unabomber Shack.
This becomes tyrannical, man. You can't even make a joke without worrying about being crucified.
Isn't it spooky having this discussion?
Are you testifying in front of Congress?
I am.
Why are you testifying? What have you done?
Do we get to keep these pads?
Whoever told you you only had to hear what didn't upset you?
I want every student on campus to be physically safe. But if you mean emotionally safe...
Van Jones.
I don't know why you're in college.
If you want to feel good, get a massage.
It's oppressor versus oppressed, and you're a hero if you're on the side of the oppressed.
Do not choose the side of the oppressor!
You cannot be happy if you think yourself a victim.
We don't agree with Mr. Prager's views at all.
Hero shot.
Hero shot.
Yes. In common, and that means we have everything in common.
When is the when's the movie coming out again?
Good-looking trailer.
That's
no
awesome.
No Safe Spaces, Infinity War.
Yes. I hope you're really happy with that, because that was great.
It was. Normally it's a bunch of, all right, now here's my long list of notes. And I get it. It's a little dramatic, probably, for my taste, but they did a nice job.
Yeah, it has a nice crescendo. It's fantastic.
It's got some good faces in it.
Some big names.
So we'll look forward to that, and you guys can enjoy.
You can watch it at nosafespaces.com, the trailer.
Oh, you can do that?
Yes.
There you go. We had a fun time up on stage on Saturday night, and I realized there was a few... did an early morning radio tour from 6 a.m. Boy, I know I've discussed this before, but I think, like, you know what I talk about... oh, that guy's got all the money in the world. He's the richest man in the world. Hey, but he's 86. He would give it all away to be 25 again, you know? And there's all that kind of like buying youth, or like if he could only just be, you can't enjoy the moment when you're in it. Yeah, he's got a yacht with a ski-doo on it, but he can't sit on it.
But what does it matter?
I feel that way about getting up early. Like number two is getting up early. I've become such a puss in getting up early. I had to get up about 5:45 this morning. And my whole thing is like, I just go to bed at midnight and I go to bed at midnight. And if you tell me I have to get up at 9, I get up at 9. If you tell me I have to get up at 4 a.m., I get up at 4 a.m. But this is the time I go to bed. And especially when you have kids and the dog and everything, and no one goes to bed till 10:30 or 11 anyway. But anyway, I was literally in the middle of a dream. It just shows me how sad and weak I am, or pathetic or predictable or something.
All the good things.
I was telling Sean from the other shop, I was pointing at this V8 turbocharged Nissan motor, and I was saying, we're going to put this in a Z car. And all of a sudden, meh, 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 meh. And I was so happy talking about this engine, man. And I was up at 6:45. And, 5:45.
So your story's changing, buddy.
Yes, 5:45. The thing was 6 a.m. to about 8. And I realized I was like in a state of shock. Mm. Like, I'm such a puss. I never.
It's as though you're threatened. Your body's a fight or flight reaction.
Yeah. Like, I'll go dip myself in a freezing pool in the middle of winter and be fine with it. But this was like, and then I start thinking, I want something to eat. I want the Baconator.
Yep.
I want a breakfast burrito. Yep. Like, and it's like,
give me some comfort food.
Wait a minute. I don't eat oftentimes until 3 or 4 in the afternoon. This is
right.
This is 12 hours or literally sometimes 12 hours before I'm going to eat dinner, which sometimes I do. Why were you dying? Like, I was like, I need something. I got to grab something. Like,
your body's in shock.
That thing we were talking about. It's just that the little baby needs to be taken care of.
What were you up early for?
I did a radio tour, and I'll figure it out because someone will put it up there. But the VR experience that
that thing was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool, and we put the cameras up on stage, and you can go to podcastone.com, I think, /CorollaVR or something, and check it out. But it was a virtual reality, us up on stage doing our thing, and I was thinking about some of that. So I was...
Speaking of spaces, that was a sweet space. They had the whole thing was tricked out for esports. I mean, it was a very elaborate.
It's crazy.
Space. Yeah,
I did a funny skit with Sonny last night, who was playing that video game that all the goddamn kids are playing now, called like Hunter and Gatherer or something.
Not Oregon Trail or Pong.
It's got a
Legend of Zelda.
It's called like it's got a sort of strangish name. But it's a big popular game. And
Fortnite.
Yeah. Sorry. Fortnite. It's Fortnite, and everyone goes around and hunts people.
This is what happens when you don't get sleep in a Fortnite.
And just FYI, I happen to have a story about Fortnite for the news. I can't wait.
It's a weird thing where
I cannot wait to tell you.
Tap into this stuff. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm explaining to Sonny that professional gamers make a pretty damn good living, and they're going to open more of these event centers and have more professional gamers. And then I turned to him, who he was playing Fortnite, and Olga said, it's time for dinner. And he said, just give me another minute before I get killed here. And I said, Sonny,
like, no problem.
Why aren't you focusing more on your video games? And he's like, huh? And I'm like, how are we going to make a living with you? Where are you ranked on like Fortnite? It's like 26. Like 26 doesn't sound like
that's
top
right.
five to me.
That's scholarship material.
I need you to focus and really hunker down and get serious about playing video games.
Quit wasting your time in this math, the times tables.
Yes, dinner can
fractions.
Wait. Dinner can wait. You want to be a champion? You focus on that video. And he knew immediately the irony of the parent now for the first time ever. But I'm sure it's going on across America where these guys are making six, maybe seven figure deals with sponsorships and everything else. There are now parents screaming at their kids, why weren't you playing video games? I came home, I saw you out in the yard with a basketball in your hand, throwing away your future. And I saw a book open. I saw an algebra book open on the table.
You want to get somewhere?
I saw you talking to a friend.
That's right.
Next to him.
That's right.
Gina was just talking to our guest, Paul Rodriguez, yeah. about his son, who's a professional skateboarder. About the same thing back in, about the day, the same thing back in the day, where it's like, you want to be a professional what?
Get out of here.
No, get out of here.
Yeah. That's not a thing.
These things evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they come on quick.
They evolve, and it's comical. Skateboarding, yeah, I agree. It's a crazy way to make a living, but at least it wasn't a go outside, get some sunshine, breathe some air. This is literally go in a room, lock the door, draw the curtains.
Panic room.
Yes. But it's crazy. These guys make a huge virtual living off of this sport. I bet the guys who race the drones think those guys are pussies. and those guys who play the video games who race the drones, they think they're pussies. Like how doctors and chiropractors really don't
Army
care.
And Air Force.
They don't care for each other. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little professional rivalry.
The owner of this company is on the phone. Bespoke Post, subscription club that offers monthly themed boxes curated from unique brands around the world, a wide variety of box themes, style, grooming, cooking, I have my knife right here, drinking, travel, all the... By the way, I should just combine drinking and travel because... You don't need to combine grooming and cooking for me, but drinking and traveling. Let's just put that in one bigger box.
You rarely do one without the other.
I do not do one without the other. No commitments. They tell you what's in the box, and you get it on the first of each month, and you have 5 days to keep it, switch it, or skip it. Just visit bespokepost.com, answer a few short questions, help them gauge your interest. Each box is only $45 with $70 worth of goods inside. Great stuff. High end, high quality. We have it here. We love it here. What can I tell you? Talk to the owner in a second. Bespoke Post, Dawson.
To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to bespokepost.com and enter promo code Adam at checkout. That's 20% off your first box at bespokepost.com. Promo code Adam. Bespoke Post. Themed boxes for guys that give a damn.
All right, so we have Paul. We have some clips from Mar I wanted to play. I got some other stuff I want to tell you about. Brian's going to give us an update. It's the 9-year anniversary of his diagnosis, so I want to know now and all about that.
Let's
see if I can get Rishi Prabhu's name pronounced correctly. Rishi, am I saying it right?
Yeah, that was perfect.
Wow.
That was a first.
It's never going to happen again. Where are you calling from?
I'm from New York.
So tell us about your background. And tell us, we'll get into Bespoke Post in a second, but I love everyone. I love the businesses. I love the entrepreneurial spirit. And I was having this crazy conversation yesterday on Take a Knee, which is we have the same half of the country who's talking about, I think I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders because I love socialism, is also talking about being entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never heard more entrepreneurial talk and more socialism talk. Out of the same person's people. Mouth.
Confused.
It's kind of crazy. Any thoughts on that, Rishi?
Rishi, yeah. No, I mean, now's the moment. I feel like everybody's kind of trying to start their own company, and I think it's like a great, great moment in time.
What's your heritage, and how did you come about Bespoke Post, and what was your past life like?
Heritage, I'm Indian. I grew up in the great state of New Jersey. And we started the company about 6 years ago. My co-founder and I met each other in grad school. And we thought that kind of the men's market was underserved. Like, if you think about it, anytime you go into a store, like, we always go to the basement. We're the forgotten ones. And so we thought we'd create a company, like, for men. And we started with that box that you guys have at the office. Like, we called it the Box of Awesome. And the whole premise was that, like, we'd work with these really cool up-and-coming brands, and we kind of cut through all the noise that's out there and help our customers discover them.
I was just thinking about the mall and the ever-expanding food court. I wonder if guys spearheaded that. I was a kid, I'd go to the mall. I don't remember a food court. But okay. I think too many dudes hanging out, waiting for too many women to get out of the done with the bra shopping.
Let's get a Cinnabon.
Where are the corn dogs?
I think the lure of chili drew many men. And as we get fatter, the food court
expands to our size.
It keeps expanding. I'd love to see the size of a food court in an average mall in 1971. It was probably
you said, it might not have existed. You know, it may have been like one or two little kiosks, and now...
My friend worked for Snacks, Fifth Avenue.
Oh, sure. Best name.
In Sherman Oaks. And he had a little kiosk wagon he would push so you could buy pretzel and lemonade on one end because you wouldn't... that was it. So that's good. All there was. Sorry, back to Bespoke Post. How do you figure out... How do you vet all the stuff that's going into the boxes?
We have a massive, massive amount of samples that come to our office. So we have like a whole team that tests all the different products. We use them over and over again to make sure that they're good. And so we really take that very seriously because we ship so many of these out that if there's a problem, it could be it would be a big problem for us. So it's a lot of testing that goes on at the office. A lot of drinking events, a lot of all kinds of things.
I gotta say, I'm a fan of, and I imagine, but you tell me, what percentage of your business is people signing up other people for themselves versus a gift or a friend? Because I always loved the monthly stuff for a Christmas gift for somebody. Yeah. Back in the day, it was beer of the month or wine of the month or whatever. Because I think, like, it just reminds them every month who the good friend is. But what percentage? On the other hand, I just signed myself up for the Books to bring the flowers twice a month to the house because I'm like, I'm worth it.
Yeah.
What percentage of people are with themselves or within the family versus friends and colleagues and things like that, gifts?
I would say like 90% is people buying for themselves, actually.
Interesting.
Selfish bastards. Really?
Treat yourself.
Never thought. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought it would have been. I would argue that. Or get it for yourself, but get it for a friend too. It's a really cool gift. And again, it's that monthly thing, and it's better.
It shows
than,
up. It's a reminder. Like, oh, that guy or that girl got this for me.
Well, and also it makes you look cool. It's like I didn't handpick and curate this stuff, but since cool stuff came in the box, I guess I get the credit.
I'm guessing you keep track of that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, we keep track of it. I agree with you guys. I'm surprised more people don't buy it as gifts. So I think that's definitely like an opportunity for us.
I think I'll tell. I'm going to yell at everyone to buy it as a gift. just do it for me. But I also, there's a part of me that would like to be more like that person that says, hey, I work hard. Hey, I'm a good dad, or I'm a good person, and I deserve this monthly treat, and it makes me feel good.
Yeah,
so
cool,
why not do it? In a way, I'm sort of mostly jealous of those people. I don't actually. I seem to have some ire, but I don't identify. What's I have what. Can I ask you what else you're looking at down the road? Obviously, you're an enterprising young guy. You must be thinking about other things as well, other endeavors, or what's next?
Well, so it's funny you mentioned that, you know, way back when, the wine club or the beer club. So we're actually going to be launching some of those as well. So a wine of the month club we're looking into, a beer of the month, coffee of the month. So a lot of kind of... areas that our customers really like, start launching into those.
Let me tell you, I don't want to tell you your business, but here's what I think you and I should talk about off the air. Mm-hmm. As far as I can tell, they got the Post-it and the Grubhub and everyone's delivering, and we go with the wine of the month and the beer of the month and the coffee of the month and Bespoke Post and Books is bringing the flowers over and all that. That's all great. That's awesome. It's the wave of the future. We start a company where we drop off a huge sack of money at your house every month. You
so
see?
Far, so good.
Because I think every other base is covered, but at some point we're going to have to leave and go to work, and I'd like to avoid that part.
Yeah.
I want the part where I'm just drinking the beer and drinking the coffee and looking at the flowers and seeing what's cool in the bespoke box and looking at all that and enjoying myself.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
get me wrong.
Not worrying about
more
a
time,
paycheck.
More time
a
dog, to enjoy.
Yeah, someone's got to let the dog walker in.
Sure.
Is what I'm saying. But at some point, the fiddler's going to show up. And if we do something called like sack drop, that's homoerotic.
Yeah.
That's a little homoerotic. But you know what I mean? Where we can just guarantee a big fat pillowcase of cash that's going to be brought to your home. Now, that'd have to be signed for. I don't think we can leave it on the doorstep.
Probably have to arrange some sort of fingerprint situation.
But that, let's just skip to the end.
Okay.
And we'll do that.
Rishi, you're welcome.
I don't know how it pencils out, Rishi. I'm not a businessman, but I think this is going to take... Who wouldn't sign up for this?
See you on Shark Tank, buddy. This is good stuff.
Yeah. It's weird. Everything's just showing up at the house now. Never been
a
better time to be alive. Mm. So what, Rishi, what about the beer and the wine? How are you going to do it, or can you tell us how you're going to do it that's going to be different and better?
We're still researching it. Part of our thesis was that we have all these customers who really like what we do, and there's all these other areas that they're interested in, so why don't we do what we do now, but apply it to those different areas?
Right, so it's like, I don't know, like when Porsche makes a mountain bike.
Mm-hmm.
You go, we got all these Porsche fanatics, and now they want a mountain bike.
Yeah, because they know what to expect from Porsche.
Look at a Porsche mountain bike. Yep. Bespoke Post is where you go, bespokepost.com, and use the promo code Adam, and get 20% off your first box. Rishi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. I love that everybody, that's what I love about this country. I know I'm going to sound like Yakov Smirnoff, but I love the fact that everyone just comes here and wants to do their own thing and start their own business. And it is weird that...
In Russia, bespoke post you. No, you're right.
I love that story. All right, Max Zapata. We have... Well, we got Brian's... let's talk about Brian's update. Let's talk about the health update. So it's 9 years. Practically to the day.
I just realized the other day that, Facebook, you know, will say, here's your memory from a year ago. Here's your memory from 3 years ago, whatever it was. And April 23rd, I was logged on, sometime in the morning, and it said, here's your memory from 3 years ago. And it was me posting a picture like, oh, you know, today's my 6-year anniversary. And I did the math, like, oh, today's my 9-year anniversary. It's nice that I'm at a point now where it's an afterthought. I'm not anticipating this thing where it's like, wow, it's overwhelming. It's like, oh, wow, you know, that is today, isn't it? And so it's funny. I said to Christy, I was like, oh, today's the 9-year anniversary of the day I was diagnosed. I said, we were diagnosed. And I said to her, I said, happy. She said, oh, wow, that's incredible. I said, yeah, happy anniversary. And she says, I don't like when you say that. I don't like something to celebrate. She's still pretty traumatized by the whole thing. I mean, you know, we're pretty far past it now. We have a little girl, a house, and all the wonderful things we couldn't hardly imagine on that horrible day. But she's still fairly traumatized by the whole thing. And I said to her, I said, no, we're not celebrating the event as you do on an anniversary. We're celebrating every year we put between us and the event. So congratulations on putting another year between us.
Did she say, don't mansplain my feelings to me,
That's
Brian,
exactly what
like
she
it.
Said. And then I went, it was a dial tone, which is weird because she doesn't use a corded phone. I know.
She's in the room. Thing.
You know, I don't know what that thing was called, but it was about that long ago when we had that stupid commencement speech or graduation speech put behind some sort of hip-hop beat or something.
Wear sunscreen or whatever.
Always make sure to wear sunscreen or something like that.
Was that
That charted. That ended up being a song. It was a commencement speech given by, I think, a professor who was terminally ill, and he gave a speech, a very, very memorable speech, and they put it to music, and it became like a hit. I think it charted low on the charts, but it became a actual song.
We all remember
the
radio.
I think you could create. I think it's time for round two.
Yeah.
Not the part where you kick off.
I was going to say, I think that had a lot to do with it.
Distance between you, you celebrating the years that you put between the diagnosis and now as a good spin on it.
It is. Thank you.
What? I feel like it was almost about the same time. Or maybe 10 years ago.
It was a little earlier. But you're right. Within 5 years. Maybe less. But I remember because I remember it came up when I was screening. Was it screening calls at K-Rock? Either way. It was
Max Pass's Baz Luhrmann 1999?
Yeah, it was around 2000.
I remember
it was when I first started screening calls at K-Rock. But Baz Luhrmann was the guy who put the music behind it. He wasn't he was a professor.
I thought it was a famous author.
Vonnegut.
Yeah, there you go.
No.
Kurt Vonnegut.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
What I had remembered.
Okay.
But anyway.
All right.
Well, congrats.
Happy you're still here. Play it under Brian.
Oh, excuse me. I misread
not Kurt
that.
Vonnegut.
It's not?
often erroneously described as a commencement speech given by author Kurt Vonnegut at MIT.
It was a professor.
Whatever, that was that's in the zeitgeist for some
isn't
reason.
Isn't that weird? Okay, yeah. Not Kurt Vonnegut.
Mandela effect.
What's the latest?
I had an Adam Carolla reaction to that. As soon as I heard Kurt Vonnegut, I was like, what? No.
It's a hypothetical commencement speech written by columnist Mary Schmitz.
That's from 1999?
She didn't voice it.
Originally published in 97 in the Chicago Tribune.
Huh.
Interesting.
Or find the goddamn song. All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
So what was the question?
Where are we at
How
now?
How you feeling?
Doing very well. Still, there's even discussion now about stopping the Avastin, which I've been on for 8.5 years. Doing far better than anyone could have anticipated back then. So,
how do you feel about stopping the Avastin?
Mixed. Very mixed for obvious reasons. Yeah. That's the drug that turned it all around for me. I've been on it ever since. And my doctor, you know, I am the longest patient at Cedars who's been on the drug, so there's no test case that can say like, well, this guy was on it for no, I'm the guy that's been on it for wow. 8 years or whatever it's been. So mixed, but it's also, you know, I trust my doctor implicitly. He's not only a sharp guy, he has my best interest in mind, and he's invested in my, you know, my story for obvious reasons.
You're the case study.
What about the wisdom of the Orient, though, dude? Like, this could be solved herbally.
With
enough amethyst.
Okay, what do I have to boil and inhale to?
Well, you know, you live in a toxic environment.
Oh.
You didn't smoke, did you?
No, but I knew people. I knew people who smoked. No, but I was aware of people smoking.
Didn't smoke.
No smoking.
Oh.
But isn't that good?
Well, you got cancer.
Right.
So it must have been from either doing something or not doing something.
Oh, geez, I did and didn't do so many things.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I'm going to go back and examine.
You didn't have enemas, did you?
No.
And then you didn't smoke.
Right. You think there's a link?
Well, you ate meat.
Regularly.
You didn't do enemas.
Nope.
And you didn't smoke.
Oh, my God.
It's all right there. Let me explain. Your body's like an engine.
Okay.
Okay. And you know, you have to have a radiator with coolant in it, so the engine runs right.
To regulate the temperature.
And the radiator gets filled with sediment and particles and things that are toxic.
Sure. Okay?
And you have to flush it.
Okay.
To flush it out.
The radiator.
Yeah, yeah, but you didn't flush your radiator.
I don't remember
that. What happened is the toxins build up.
Oh, Jesus.
And they don't have anywhere to go.
Oh, God.
Okay? And so when the toxins build up, they form tumors.
Oh, my God.
Okay? Now, there's a way to fix it, but you have to flush it out.
Okay.
You know.
Flush out the tumor.
And
sure.
What you were doing...
Uh-huh.
What's that called? Avastin?
Yeah, Avastin is a
that's like
medication.
That's like putting more toxins into the radiator.
This whole time they're telling me to turn it around.
No, who is that? Pfizer, Upjohn?
Yeah, exactly. I said
Bayer or something.
Genentech.
Genentech.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Look at it. Look at the name. Genentech.
Genentech.
Okay. I don't know who they are, but they're big pharma.
Yeah, yeah. One of the biggest. Yeah.
All right. Now, you know what I like?
What's that?
A little farm. But not big pharma.
Okay.
You understand? Like a little farm.
I think they're spelled,
that you raise sunflowers on.
I think they're spelled differently.
But not big pharma.
Okay. Okay.
So Genentech. All right. Do you remember in Terminator 2?
Boy, do I.
Where they had to go back and destroy that place?
Oh, yeah. Miles Dyson at Cyber
Systems.
That was
called Genentech.
It was?
I've seen that
film now.
Well, you should Google it. You should Google it.
All right. I'll Google it.
All right. Does that seem like a happy place?
I can't. No.
Does that seem like a place that's curing cancer?
Absolutely not.
So,
they cause the destruction of humanity.
Okay, they're all about profits.
Obviously.
Okay?
Are we talking about Genentech?
Yes.
Okay.
They're all the big farm, us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're all about profit.
Right.
Actually, I don't like big farms either.
Okay. It's like small, individual farm.
Everything's got to be locally sourced.
You like a farm, not
Where
pharma.
Is this Genentech?
They're in the Bay
It's
area.
Not Venice.
No. They're in...
They're not here.
No.
Well, that's
up
not
north.
Local.
Up north.
We're not a locally sourced.
Well, that's true.
You want to get your...
They kind of get, you know, them
all, right,
all over
we,
the world.
We got to flush the toxins.
Okay.
I was going to say.
We're back to toxins.
This stuff was created by a bunch of super greedy... White guys, like old, greedy white guys.
Okay.
And they want your money.
Right.
They don't care if you live.
I mean.
They don't care about your kids. Okay. All they care.
If I live, I can keep paying them.
They want your money.
Right.
They don't want the gays to get married.
Oh, my gosh.
And they do not like the wisdom of the Orient.
I can't believe they have an opinion on gay marriage. They're a drug company.
Well, they live in a world of hate.
Oh, all extensive.
It's all profit-driven hate.
Sure. Okay.
They don't pay taxes. Right. They live off hate and profit.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it Hayden Ashbury?
Hayden Ashbury. Okay. No, that's spelled differently.
Oh,
whereas pharma are spelled the same, but just with an A at the end. Okay.
I got to talk to my oncologist.
Works for them.
Oh, no, he's on the inside.
Oh, my God. Oh. He's a shill.
This whole time.
He shills for them.
He's keeping you alive just so I can pay him.
Oh, they're having parties. They're having golf parties.
Jesus.
They're sending over ladies and samplers and attaché cases filled with
golf balls
cash
and money
and golfing equipment.
I should have known.
That guy's bought and paid for, even though that sounds redundant.
Yeah. Because once you buy something, you pay for it. I mean,
like produce.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I bought the produce and I paid for it.
Let me tell you something.
Sorry, back to the point.
He's bought and paid for, and that Evangtech.
Yeah, Genentech.
Evil Tech could buy and sell him.
I thought they did.
No, he's bought and paid for.
Oh, buy and sell. Okay, yeah, resell.
But then they could then buy and sell.
Once you paid for it, you could sell it again, I suppose.
Well, anything you own, you can sell.
Yeah, really.
But he's bought and paid for. Okay?
By Evil Tech.
He is in their hip and back pocket.
Oh, my God.
Okay? He's got to check with Evil Tech before he takes a Duke in the morning. Oh, you understand?
Imagine the pain in the ass.
All right. So is that what you want?
No.
You think he cares about your kid?
I thought he did, but...
No, he cares about the green.
Jeez, you put it that way.
He worships the green, man. Oh. Now, you go to Mexico.
Now you're talking.
You get yourself some coffee enemas.
Yeah.
They're not interested in profit over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's just science.
Oh, you said I got to cleanse.
You get a cleanse.
Okay.
You cleanse the toxins
flush.
Out.
Yeah.
You either go to Mexico or China.
Okay. Those are my two options?
Well, unless you want the wisdom of the Orient to come to you.
It'd be nice, but I see what you're saying. I've got to make a trek somewhere.
They know, but they've been practicing for thousands and thousands of years.
Right.
They don't work off of profit.
Sure, but this country's only 300, less than 300 years old.
And big pharma's not interested in you seeing your 40th birthday, bucko.
It's so soon, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. This whole time I thought they were on my side.
No, you got to get a cleanse.
I got to talk to Christy.
You let me set you up. Speaking of Christy, are you looking into crystals?
Oh.
Yeah.
Like healing crystals?
All crystals heal. There's not like, well, we use these crystals for industrial mining applications, you know, for our drill bits. You know, all crystals heal. Okay.
Crystals, I'm writing this down. Crystals. Okay.
Healing crystals.
Coffee enema.
You need coffee.
Mexico. I'm just making notes. Oh, I know what they mean. I'll read them back to myself later.
You know, the next.
China.
Here's how I want you so coached up. Ready?
Evil Tech.
The next time you go into a Starbucks or Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf or something, and you order a coffee, and the guy says, "How do you take it?" You scream, "In the ass." I want you that coached up with your coffee.
I know where your head's at. Do I have to scream in the ass?
It can be loud in there over those steamers and whatnot.
At most 2 feet away from
them. Well, I want other people to know. So, how do you take it? I don't care if you're
the.
I don't care if you're out at Tavern on the Green. I don't care if it's fine dining. When it comes time for that coffee, and he says, "How do you take it?"
Oh, that's right.
You scream in the ass
at the end of the meal. How do you like your latte?
Right.
What do I say?
In the ass. You scream it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it won't be a latte because there's not a way to take a latte.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're right. Because latte is the way.
It is the way.
One. Okay.
Yeah. You just order a coffee.
I got to get coached.
Wait for them to take it. Right. And
no latte.
Yeah. So crystals. Wisdom of the Orient. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go to Mexico.
Right.
Because, okay. Big Pharma's not going to let this happen on U.S. soil.
Sure.
There's no profit in it.
There's regulations. Yeah,
you heal yourself with a funnel and a pot of Sanka.
Where's the profit?
Yeah. Where's the profit?
Where's theirs?
They don't get to make money off that.
I can't recommend that because, again.
You go to Mexico where everything works, and you get it done there.
Okay.
You understand?
Mexico.
They're not interested in profit in Mexico. They're interested in healing. Oh, okay, China and Mexico are the two places where they're not interested in profit. It's
certainly going to go to Mexico.
Here, it's a bunch of big pharma, man. Ugh. They're not interested. They're interested in your dollars. That's about it.
So, yeah, 9 years.
Mazel tov.
Bought and paid for is right up there with buy and sell.
That's
right.
That's like, funny. They can buy and sell him because he's been bought and paid for.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything, you know, a car or a cuckoo clock once you bought it.
There are very few things you can buy, yeah, that you can't resell. An Oscar, but you're not buying that. You win it.
Yeah.
On an organ, but then you don't obviously buy it. Yeah.
So no.
There's very few things.
You guys still want to hear this damn song?
Oh, the song. Yeah, where's our song? Oh, maybe just gets played during graduation season every year for like 4 years.
Yeah, it was like life advice. Yeah.
Right.
Dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Say.
All right, that's good. Turns out it's not that great.
The hook isn't that great.
Speaking of scare, though, I think we have, and I was telling, I can't really do too many podcasts. We have that clip, or was I talk? Were we going to do that O'Brien thing?
Oh, the Rob O'Neill clip.
O'Neill thing, sorry.
Yeah, I'll get that.
Where's that on my... on my thing. So I, you know what? Do you have, all right, find O'Neill and then find Jordan as well, because he was on Mar sort of talking about kids taking chances and all that. And I'm really starting to drill down on this life without any risk in it and just how damaging that is to young people. He was talking about a few things, a phenomenon, which is
Jordan or O'Neill.
Jordan. Okay. Sorry. We used to have a bunch of kids, and we'd have them young. Mm. And I mean, as a society, you know, a bunch of 19 and 20 year old guys would have 5 and 6 kids, and then the next thing you know, and the kids had to go out and sort of look after each other and get into trouble or walk around in the creek and go after, go after guppies or whatever it is. Now, I'm certainly guilty of this, Brian, a little bit, and many people we know. You wait until an older age and you have 1 or 2 kids.
Oh, yeah.
And then the 1 or 2 kids get incredibly protected by these somewhat neurotic older people who have nothing and have all the money and resources to protect them. And it's like, we can't, and also we live in a society that is just, all it is those 48 hour murder mysteries. And they go, this is a neighborhood, could be anywhere, USA. You'd never think that an abduction could take place in such a sleepy little town. And then you have Oprah come in and go, if it could happen here, it could happen anywhere. And as I like to say, we all live anywhere, so it could all happen to us.
Yeah, I live anywhere.
And you watch enough of these shows, and then you get in this thing where it's like, yeah, let the boy walk home from the arcade. Are you kidding? It's dark outside. It could be up there. It's like, he's not going to be. But right. I understand you've been spoon-fed so much of this in a weird way. I'll get into it deeper in another subject, but we get spoon-fed what a racist society we are so early and so often that I think we sort of believe we're a racist society. We're a society, the Klan is not tolerated in this society, not that they don't exist. They're not really tolerated, and whatever pockets of racism there are exist, but we're not that. We're not a society. We've just been fed it and fed it and fed it, and we just feed this, that there was society where kids are getting abducted and raped and pulled off the streets and vans and stuff. It never happens. It just, it statistically never happens, sure. But you get fed this diet of it. And of course you're not going to let your kid walk home from the arcade. The streetlights are on. You know?
If it ever does happen, it's sensational. You know, it's a story worth talking about because it's,
well,
it's
and those
crazy.
Parents get arrested and sometimes.
Yes. It's usually when you take those stories and you start distilling them down, it's usually the father after the divorce, right. And blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
It's just rarely, jumping out of the bushes.
Yeah, 95% of the time, it's someone, you know, yeah, exactly.
It's like, that's usually it's not the crazed loner in the van. You hear it, but it's not what right. The norm is. Sorry. So Peterson was talking about Max Zapata, about kids and about how they need to be put, they need a little jeopardy in their life. But I'm not sure if you have that. You have that one? Let's hear it. This is him on Marsha.
Well, there's also this idea that's promoted by the people who are protecting those who are easily offended, that the way to make people secure is to protect them from things that they don't want to encounter. And right. There isn't a clinician, like I'm a trained clinical psychologist, and there isn't a clinician in the country who's worth his or her salt that would ever make that claim. Because you don't make people... First of all, it's hard to make people safe because life is seriously not safe.
Yes.
And the way that you make people resilient is by exposing them to things that they're afraid of and that make them uncomfortable voluntarily, but you use exposure.
Right.
And it's a And so like if you over coddle people, if you protect them from everything that's sharp, you make them dull and stupid and and narcissistic, and it's a really bad idea.
There's so you do know America.
It's good.
All right, it's a bad idea. It's just a bad idea. It's so weird because I get in these arguments about let them jump off the thing onto the thing and let them figure it out. And then my wife's like, don't let them do whatever. And the conceit is, I think it's because she cares and I don't
sure.
care. But it's really quite the opposite. I was my favorite move with Natalia, where she'd just get that run and start and dive off that bed when she was like 3 or 4 years old. And she couldn't say move back. She'd say less forward or whatever. She kept waving me back. And I would catch her midair, but it was a big launch. I mean, she'd go full Supergirl. And I'm not doing a thing where I go, I was standing a few feet away and she kind of leaned over and I would catch her. She'd run, she'd bounce, and she'd launch. And she would launch big time. And at a certain point, I got about 8 feet away from the bed and she said, move it less forward. She waved me back again. And I said, I'm not going to catch you from here. I can't make it from here. The bed was high. The bed was about 30 inches off the ground. Pretty high. The room was carpeted. She'd push me back now 10 foot plus. And I said, I'm a rangy guy, but I will not make it. And she said, I'm going for it. And I said, okay.
Oh my God.
And she got a face full of carpet. I mean, she went down bad. Like she did a full face plant. Like she launched herself. She put her arms out in front of her. I tried to get her from where I was, but I wasn't.
It was futile.
I wasn't going to make it. I didn't make it. And she's never done that again. She was crying.
So lesson stuck.
She wanted to know what was going on, but
she
learned.
Was she afraid to ever do that game, or she just didn't push you back as far?
No, she did. She did the thing that makes me worry quite a bit about her future, which is she moved me up. She continued the game probably the following night, and then she did this thing that made me. I hesitate to tell Drew about this because it's probably. It's probably something that addicts share,
okay.
Which she said, she said,
just one more fix.
I can quit anytime I want.
She said she launched herself at me. And when she launched herself at me, when she was midair, I looked to the left and went, oh, Molly's in the room. And she had a look of just abject terror. Like her face turned into, he forgot about me. Like I did
mid-air.
This super distracted. Yeah. She right when she was midair, I just went, oh, hi, hi, Molly girl.
You
and
juked
I, and
her.
I turned, I juked her and she had a look like, ah, and then I turned real fast and I caught her. And she was like, don't do that, daddy. Don't do that. And I said, I won't do it. And then the next time she ran at the bed and right before she launched, she stopped. Mm. She was looking to see if I did that, the move again. And then she did again and I did it again. And she's like, Daddy, don't do that. And I only waited. I wait till she physically launches herself and she gets past the point of no return. And I did it a few times. And then a certain point, she said, do it.
Oh, no.
She literally wanted. It's like someone who cuts on themselves to feel a rush. She wanted that extra endorphin rush of me out of place, distracted, looking
for
like,
sure gonna get her.
Like she was going to eat shit. She wanted that rush.
Yep. Wow.
Where Sonny, when he would do it, I'd put my knees against the side of the bed and he would just lean against me. Like someone took a sack of potatoes and just leaned it against something. That's all it was.
Yeah. Wow. I'm nervous because Tess's dominant physical characteristic at this point is her ability to climb through climbing things. She scales things. She climbs her little plastic chair, maybe like a plastic table.
I've seen
video
of her doing that.
Yeah, maybe two feet off the ground, and which she's not supposed to do, but we can't stop her. And she'll stand on it, and she'll get this glint in her eye, right? She goes like this, and she looks, I'm standing right in front of her. Like, Tessa, get down. She goes,
does the fall.
No, does the real fall. I have to catch her.
Oh, you got
to
catch her.
She knows that I will, right. But she'll do the look in my eyes as though I'm saying, like, here we go.
It's because you guys are too attentive as fathers.
It might be.
Maybe Reba McEntire should pen another song
don't
with
climb,
these
fancy.
Two. These two
Here's
in here.
Your one chance, Tessa, don't let me down.
All right, I'll play you Rob O'Neill, the guy who killed Bin Laden. I'll play you his, because I have a very interesting take on this Jordan Peterson thing, and then my thing and his thing, and I'll tell you that in 1 second. First, True Car. Oh, man. I got a tip for you with the True Car. Put the key fob underneath your chin. Increase its range. Put some air in those tires. Get some better gas mileage, and the tires don't wear out as fast either. Here's another tip you might not know. True Car also helps people get used cars with a certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. Whether you're looking to go new or you're looking to go used, see what other people paid, find out the exact same apples to apples, find out same interior, same, you know, engine options, sunroofs, whatever, stereos, make sure everything's the same, figure out the price, lock in your price, enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with a True Car certified dealer. They have a network of national dealers. So when you're ready to buy new or used, check out the True Car and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. So I've been ruminating. I've been noodling on this thought of putting these things on your calendar and scaring yourself a little bit.
I heard you guys talking about this.
And I'm heading to Road Atlanta to go with this really fast race course that I've never driven on before with a whole bunch of really fast guys. Like, there's like 50 guys in my run group, and I'm nervous about it. Like, it's on the calendar. I got to think about it. I got to worry about it a little bit. But I intentionally put myself in that position, I think, for a reason, because somehow instinctively I understand that that's a good way to go. Anyway, this guy goes into Bin Laden's compound and Rob O'Neill, and then he does it to himself as well. But here's how he does it. Well, I'll play the clip of it. Dr. Drew would sing the Pledge of Star Spangled Banner at the Kings game in front of 17,000 people. And And for the 2 weeks leading up to it, he wasn't interested in people and their mean tweets. He was focused on that. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. You know, I used to skydive quite a bit, and that was fun. The nighttime stuff with a lot of stuff strapped to me that's always, you know, keeps you on the edge there, if you will. And since I've gotten out, though, I stopped skydiving, I went scuba dive, but three or four times what I've done that had me focused for like a week and a half was throwing out the first pitch at a Major League Baseball game.
I like the idea that the guy kills Bin Laden, but this is what he's nervous about it.
Yep.
No one wants to make a fool of yourself in front of 30,000 people. Drew comes in here. He's like one of your mom's friends after a car accident. Just kind of agitated. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm distracted. Scattered. I'm thinking about, so like replaying things. He's a mess. Except for when he has to sing the national anthem, because he's focused. Right. He's focused on, he practices, he gets with someone. There's something circled on his calendar, in his case, the national anthem or a car race or throwing out the first pitch. It's a number of weeks off. But every minute that passes, you get a little closer to that moment when you're standing there on the ice or on the mound or behind the wheel or whatever that thing is, and you're thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking a little less about all the guys on the Twittersville
who
are
noise. Or
all the noise that you're normally
minutia.
All the stuff you get caught up in. And by the way, that day, you don't give two shits about who's tweeting you or what's going on that
day.
Don't
even open your phone.
You're focused on that. And to put a few things out there on the calendar, and then have to scare you like, you know, I got to find a Komodo dragon and wrestle it or something. It's just that thing, like a perfect example, throwing out the first pitch.
Because it's so innocuous. You're throwing a ball. Just toss the ball 60 feet.
But it has elements where, same with racing the car, same with driving the, doing what Drew does, you have to practice. Mm-hmm. You have to prepare. It's not just show up that day or go ahead and show up that day. But now you really better worry about it. And it's an element.
I was gonna say, I threw the first pitch out at a Padres game, and I had the exact same feeling that I'm sure Drew did, and I'm sure O'Neill did, and all these guys, because it's something so. I'm sure Drew sang that song, whether it's in a shower or at a Kings game or anywhere in between, unless he was showering at a Kings game, hundreds of times. And I'm sure O'Neill's thrown a ball hundreds of times, as have I, in Little League and on and on and on. But this one time, just doing this one simple thing just once, it seems so innocuous, but it fills you with, and you've raced how many hundreds of times? You know, it just fills you with a little bit of dread. You're like, oh, here we go. Not dread, but anticipation, heightened senses,
nerves.
Blocking everything out. That they're not dread, but you know what I mean.
It makes you focus on something in the future and get away from the noise of the day. And if you can dot your calendar with a few of those, you'll have a saner, happier, better life with the potential of making an ass of yourself. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Corolla, I got a solution to your no eating on the road because you're too slammed policy. Do a meet and eat from now on. No meet and greet. If they want to meet you, they better bring something that you can eat. Hi, Bald. Hi, Gina.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Just spell meat, M-E-A-T, right?
Right. A meet and greet.
Yeah, not like pharma and farms, which are the same spelling. All right, Paul, is it Paul Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming in. And what did I do? I feel like I'm missing something today.
What do you need?
I'm good. I'll bring him in. I had another Bill Maher thing I wanted to share with you. I feel like I'm up against it. I've been yapping about too much. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about, which is stuff we talked about when we did the live show that I realized doesn't air per se.
It was a podcast.
So I can share them with you, the listeners who weren't there. Mm-hmm. We stumbled on a few things. We figured out that Tom Cruise is never filmed in shorts.
We're still waiting some verification on any short wear.
Fact-checking.
Plays volleyball in jeans, and then he wears the tidy whities when he receives bad news from his CO. But I've never seen him just in cargo shorts in a movie. I feel like I've seen Tom Hanks in shorts a lot, but I've never seen Tom Cruise in shorts. It's something you guys can help us out with. Now, I don't want to see a picture of him jogging with Siri.
Yeah, this
Suri.
Is
right.
Sorry.
On screen.
In Cocktail.
Remember, I theorized.
How about Cocktail?
Because there's beachside. He's a beachside bartender in Cocktail.
Yeah.
He works at the hut. He has to have shorts.
And he's also, I mentioned that I was like, oh, he was at a public pool in Minority Report. Chris looked it up. He's like, there's like two frames of him getting out of the pool, but you can't like definitively see he's wearing shorts. I'm like, oh, okay, well, the streak continues.
Well, if he's getting out of the pool, he's wearing trunks, right?
Because is there a definitive shot of him in trunks right there?
See, if you look at the angle.
Not really.
No, but what I'm saying is
just in life, going to the bank.
I'm not saying he doesn't take his shirt off or he won't show his legs. I'm just talking about shorts, like walking, like in shorts.
No casual shorts at
all. Yeah, I mean, those are swim trunks, and he's going to a pool. Okay. I'll give him a pass
and
on
I think your theory is sound as to why. Because if you watch enough Project Runway and stuff like that,
he's
they talk
gay.
About that. Yes.
Yes.
No, sorry, go ahead.
Just go right to the chase.
They talk, you know, Tim Gunn will say, like, if she's already short, you know, don't make her a dress that cuts her off at the shin because it makes her look short and squat.
I think he wears something with a heel in it, a boot-esque shoe quite often, and I often also think that shorts, especially like the cargo variety, on a short guy who has to wear tennis shoes, don't. And the guys who really don't do themselves a favor are the guys who go with the long shorts and then the high top tennis shoe. That just bridges.
No calves.
There's just a little wisp of flesh between the top of the shoe and the bottom of the shin of the short.
You know who wears shorts? John Cena. Big dudes like that. That's shorts. That's a shorts wearing dude.
Yes. Yeah, Will Sasso should That's wear right. shorts to funerals, bar mitzvahs, weddings, holiday parties. The other thing we figured out was in terms of home businesses, and not home businesses like Amway, but businesses where you could, where you were driving down the street and could pass a home and see a sign in front. Actually, I'm adding another one. The three ones that seem insane. So the first one, which I did pass on the way out to the gig, was the tarot card readers and
fortune tellers
and all kinds of stuff. That's frequently done from the house. The other one I only see from the house, or I see in the world, but I see from the house is tax preparation as well, which, again, I don't think there could be any two businesses that were further apart in terms of their application. Nope. And then the other weird one in between is the daycare.
Yes.
These are
home
all
daycares.
Now, I get the soothsaying part. Those are just for crazy people, and there's poor people that don't want to leave the house. But the tax prep and the part where your kids are being looked after, both those feel weird, the homespun version of those.
Yeah, and that's pretty, I mean, that's common in the Midwest. I think we were dropped off at one of those.
I think it's pretty common out here. I see it a lot.
Do you have to be accredited, or you just open your front door?
I think you do. But it's kind of like, you know, it's like the early version of Airbnb, right? Unless it's not you staying over the night. It's like, drop your kids off for the day. We'll take care of them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We got Paul Rodriguez out there. What else did I want to jump into? I got some.
Well, you're talking about cell phone coverage at places that are sponsored by the companies like Sprint.
Did we get that figured out?
We talked about that on the air.
We did.
Oh. Yes. So
we got it. We got an answer. Somebody who knows what they're doing. So. This
better be Bobby Sprint.
the deal was, when you go to the Nextel Cup NASCAR race, then if you have another carrier, then your phone was not supposed to work well there in that thing that's sponsored by Sprint or whomever.
It's like, if you don't have Sprint, you're being jammed. Your signal's being jammed.
Right. There is an explanation for this.
My theory was that's not possible. But
Chris will... We'll share it with you.
Yeah, so this is written by listener David. Hey, guys, huge fan of the podcast. Keep up the great work. I was listening today, and the discussion came up about cell phone service at large events, which may or may not be sponsored by a carrier. Sprint was used as the example. This is actually what I do for a living. So to help, since I know Ace likes closing loops, it would be a violation of FCC rules for anyone to jam a cell phone carrier service unless there's a public safety issue requiring it, for instance, inside a jail cell. The problem they're experiencing is a capacity problem, not a coverage problem in most instances. Yes, if Sprint is the sponsor of an event or venue, they will install a system called a distributed antenna system, or DAS for short, that will solve their problem, but only for their service.
Exactly.
If another carrier wants to jump on and improve their service too, they will usually pay the venue or Sprint directly and can add some equipment to accomplish that goal. But as mentioned, they aren't big fans of that since they have paid a lot of money for the rights to that venue or event. Hope this helps. See you at the MIDI.
So they don't jam.
They get a booster.
But it's a sort of de facto jam because you get a boost.
Everyone
they
else
don't,
is trying
and
for
that's
the same.
Why it doesn't. It's the same result in the sense that your phone doesn't work if you don't as well. If you don't have that carrier.
Right, you don't subtract, you add.
Right. Service. But interesting, and I love a good answer, right?
I like that too.
All right. Nice. I'll tell you about the Castrol Edge, and then we'll bring Paul Rodriguez in. Castrol Edge, tech advances. It made engines smaller, more powerful, more effective. The pressure's gone up in those engines, man. Just little engines working super hard. Castrol Edge collaborated with Electronic Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the need for speed video games. And you can find its computer. It's find out if the real computer, the real driving versus the computer-based driving skills are superior. And you can find that at Castrol USA YouTube page. And check that out. All right. We will take a break, and then we'll come back with one of our favorite comedians, Paul Rodriguez, right after this.
Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material.
The reason the show is called Not Taco Bell Material is because I attempted to get a job at the Taco Bell in North Hollywood that was by my house, and they said, thanks, but no thanks. We're looking for a slightly higher caliber of retard.
May 17th at Cleveland's Agora Theater, and May 18th in Detroit at the Royal Oak.
Now I'm out on my own, and I've moved on to the fast-paced, lucrative world of carpet cleaning, where a high school diploma will only slow you down, people.
Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.